Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hello and welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One. It is Sunday, December 5th, 2021. This is Mark Day. Welcome you back to the show. Mr. Mark Hamilton will be back on Thursday night and can't wait to get him back because after the race that we had today in Saudi Arabia, I certainly do not really want to wade through this one on my own this evening, but hey, it is what it is, and we'll see where we come out on the flip side. But anyways, wow, what an afternoon that was at Jeddah for the very first Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Anyways, before we get into it, let's just take a quick look at the race classification for the very first Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. I'll just pull up the first 10 point paying positions in my notes here. Winning it was Lewis Hamilton, coming home in front of Max Verstappen. Valtteri Bottas rounding out the podium for Mercedes. Esteban Ocon, no, you did not hear that incorrectly. Esteban coming home fourth for Alpine. Fifth was Danny Ricciardo for McLaren. Sixth, Pierre Gasly for AlphaTauri. Seventh was Charles Leclerc, leading home the first of the two Ferraris. Obviously, Carlos Sainz was eighth. Antonio Giovinazzi in his second to last race for Alfa Romeo, coming home ninth. And tenth was Lando Norris in the second Mercedes. Now going over to the driver standings, tied dead even between Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton after 21 races, both of these drivers on an equal footing of 369.5 points. Max leading the championship by virtue of winning 9 races, which I believe is one more than Lewis. Valtteri Bottas third with 218 points. Sergio Perez not collecting any points today in Saudi Arabia, sitting fourth on 190. And then Charles Leclerc rounding out the top five in the Drivers' Championship with 158 points, just 4 points ahead of Lando Norris and just under 10 points ahead of his teammate Carlos Sainz in seventh. In the Constructors, is it safe to say that Mercedes has got this one wrapped up with one race to go? Anyways, the Silver Arrows, 587.5 points. Red Bull 559.5, Ferrari 307.5, McLaren's 269, and Alpine 149 points. So that gap between Ferrari and McLaren still sitting at roughly 40 points. And you have to think, like we've been saying on the show here for the past couple of weeks, this one has got to be sewn up for Ferrari. But wow, what an afternoon that was. And you know, part of the reason I'm waiting so late to do this was because I had to go back and watch this a bunch of times. I had to go through about 3 different shifts to actually watch the race. Just it was a crazy afternoon in my own household here. And very much like Steve Williams, the YouTube live chat, he says, please be gentle. I'm still recovering from a crazy race. Steve, brother, I feel you. I think we're all the same. I was on the TSN Racing Pod with our good friend Tim Haraney this afternoon to help recap the race. And, you know, I still don't know what we really saw. It was something. It was really, really something. I've come to the conclusion after 21 races, Max, I love you. Lewis, I love you. Red Bull, Mercedes, love you guys. Toto, Christian, Marco, you know what, guys? I think we need some time apart. We're going to go to Yas next weekend, and one way or another, we're going to get this thing sorted out. But this was just, obviously it was intense, but there was so much going on in this race. I've got 2 pages of notes that I sat and wrote down because I had to get this all in right in my head, because doing the TSN Racing Pod, Tim had this all written down, and I'm pretty sure I mixed up a couple of the incidents and myself here. So So anyways, the first start was not great for Max. Lewis gets away. Valtteri gets away. He gets second place and forms that barrier between him and Max. And that's where it stays for the first 10 laps or so. Then you have, Mick Schumacher sliding into the barrier. You get a safety car. They decide to red flag the race after a little bit. It was interesting, too, because it just seems almost a given now. Anytime that something happens between that either Mercedes or Red Bull feel that they've been slighted or they've been put in a disadvantage, their drivers are automatically on the radio. First of all, behind the safety car, while they're dealing with Mick Schumacher's accident, Max is complaining about Valtteri going too slow and, because they were obviously trying to pull off the double stack for the Mercedes boys. And, Martin Brundle on the Sky commentary, he made the comment that he was going too slow and he's not supposed to be doing that. Ultimately, it was a bit of a moot point because they ultimately did red flag that session. They were allowed to go in, change tires, change any parts on the car that needed replacing, etc. But it was an interesting one, and ultimately, I guess, a little bit of a footnote to the race because it never really got dealt with. And then when you go back to the let's make sure I'm not getting ahead of myself here, because you go back to the second start, there's a better start for Max. Lewis was first in the quarter. Max is inside, but makes the overtake by running off onto the infield going into turn one and two, which is a very fast kind of flick to the left and to the right. This is, quickly brought to another standstill because just in a couple of corners later, you have cars all running, line abreast. You have Sergio Perez get tagged on the right rear tire by a Charles Leclerc. That kind of sets off a whole chain reaction, which ultimately ends up with Nikita Mazepin driving up the back of George Russell. And here we go again. So, well, that's all being dealt with, and we're all looking to find out, well, what happened, and why are there bits of cars all over the place, and why are there cars facing the wrong way down the track, etc. The replay's going on, and the discussions are going on. I thought it was fascinating, too, because you get this race radio broadcast between Red Bull and Michael Massey, the F1 race director, where they're basically bartering and bargaining between what's going to happen, because that turn one incident where Max runs off into the infield, he doesn't really have time to give Lewis the position back. Basically Michael Massey gives him the opportunity at the next restart to start behind Lewis Hamilton. And on top of this, while this is all happening, you have Esteban Ocon, who's in the mix there as well. You end up going to the next restart where you have Ocon, Hamilton, and Verstappen. And, Red Bull wisely decided right away to accept that. I mean, what else were they going to do? But now you go to the third restart, which is now on lap 17, which is crazy because I was watching it and I'm looking at how this thing unfolds. And I think by this time, I don't even know how much time has elapsed. And I was starting to wonder, I guess you have to look at the timing rules precisely, but I was starting to wonder, is this actually going to get in within the whole 2 hour time limit? It certainly didn't seem like it, but I suppose with the red flag session, it changes things up a little bit. Anyways, third time's a charm if you're Max Verstappen. You have a great start from Max, who's starting third, and he makes a very, very brave pass down the inside, going to turn one, three abreast with Lewis Hamilton and Esteban Ocon. So Max, that was a great pass. And unfortunately, I think if you're a fan of Max Verstappen, that this is going to be a highlight that I think that is going to be overlooked due to all the drama and all the things that happened before and after this incident. Anyways, Hamilton's stuck behind Ocon for only a lap, and then it's just crazy because then by the time you get to lap 36, Hamilton goes to pass Max down starts finish, going into Max or into turn one. Max breaks late and runs through the infield again. Max has to give the position back. It's on the radio that he has to give the position to Hamilton. Now, from what I understand, before this all happened on start finish, that there was a series of radio broadcasts from the race director telling them Red Bull to give it back. And I don't know, and I can't confirm this. This is only from other people that I've spoken to. into that have a little bit more, you know, access than I do. But from what I understood was that they were in the process of relaying this to Lewis, that Max was going to have to give up that position by running into the infield once again that turn 1-2. So Lewis wasn't actually expecting him to slow down. Now there's some speculation that maybe both of these two guys were kind of trying to like game the DRS line so that Max could let Lewis pass and then try and take advantage of being within 1 second and therefore activate the DRS. But the whole point is that Lewis went straight up the back of him, damages his rear wing, and that just... Wow, it was crazy. And again, Martin Brundle on Sky Sports on the commentary, the color, he thinks that it might have been a bit of a misunderstanding. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But I mean, that was the most controversial point in the race, obviously. Going to lap 42, Verstappen retakes the lead. Then he's given a 5-second time penalty for leaving the track and gaining advantage several laps earlier, which is the first time at this point that the stewards have actually weighed in on it. And then on lap 43, Lewis retakes the lead and then ultimately goes on to win the race after lap 50, several laps after that. Now, well, it is just so difficult to kind of keep up with all the things that obviously went on and transpired through all of that. Now, if you go and look at the race steward's verdict, because ultimately Max was penalized another 10 seconds after the race, there was a full verdict that was released by the stewards who released their report, gave it to Michael Massey, the race director. And anyways, it's kind of a long and lengthy statement, but the key takeaway from this is the second to last paragraph in the statement saying, however, the sudden braking by the driver of car 33 was determined by the stewards to be erratic and hence the predominant cause of the collision, and hence the penalty, standard penalty of 10 seconds for this type of incident is imposed. Now, this is interesting because Dr. Helmut Marko from Red Bull told the motorsport.com, first of all, he called it an extraordinary race. He went on to say, quote, Red Bull is not happy and we don't accept the decisions. Our engineers are preparing that we can prove Max was constant with his braking and he didn't brake test like Hamilton said. Then he crashed into our car. He unfortunately put two cuts in the rear tire that was so severe that we couldn't attack anymore. We had to take the speed out. That was one thing. The next thing was the second start. Hamilton was more than 10 car lengths behind. Sebastian Vettel got penalized in Budapest when he did it. But with this maneuver, Hamilton, was preparing his tire better for the start. Then he pushed Max off, no reaction. So we feel we are not treated the same. End quote. Yeah, you know, this is interesting. I mean, first of all, a couple of takeaways here. I'm sure they're going to look at the telemetry. I guess they're going to probably appeal this decision. I mean, ultimately, it doesn't really make any difference because the 10-second penalty that was applied didn't actually affect the race classification. I think this is more of a statement by the stewards, if anything, just signaling what is and what is not acceptable going into the season finale. And sure, you know what? Go back 6-8 months, however long it's been since we had that first race at Bahrain, and we saw that it looked like it was going to be a pretty tight season between Verstappen and Hamilton, and we wanted it to go as long as possible. And well, I guess careful for what you wish for. Yes, it's been dramatic at times. Silverstone, Monza, Brazil, and now today. But now we're going down, and it's basically coming down to a one race shootout, winners takes all. And I think they have to do something. I don't even sit these guys down together and just lay it out on the line what is and what isn't going to fly. So it is interesting that they believe that the data and the telemetry is going to prove them right. I would expect that they'll probably want to appeal this and put that to the stewards. The big gap between Hamilton and Verstappen at the restart, the second restart, I think is an interesting one because I think that was a very valid point. Max made comment of it on the radio. It was mentioned on the commentary on the television stream, and it was pretty obvious to see because, I mean, the longer that Max sits there, the more that his tires and brakes are cooling. And it was very, very interesting, too, because it wasn't, I mean, Lewis was obviously more than the 10 car lengths behind, but even the rest of the field just closing up. I mean, that was another thing that was remarked upon by Martin Brundle, who not very much got past him this afternoon, did make the comment, too, that it was taking the rest of the fields an extraordinarily long amount of time to form up on the grid to get ready for that second start. So it is kind of interesting that that wasn't ruled upon or noted. But at some point, you know, I guess Mark and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I mean, draw the parallel into any number of North American sports, which, you know, obviously doesn't relate to Formula One. But the one phrase that a lot of us will be familiar with when it comes to, say, hockey or basketball or football to a certain degree is the referees have put their whistles in their pockets, right? They're letting them play. But, you know, I guess that goes to the discussion that we've had quite a few times, and we've had so many messages, so many emails and tweets from people just about the consistency and the application of the rules and by the stewards all season long. And for this one point, I actually find myself agreeing with Helmut Marko, especially if Vettel got penalized for the same infraction in at the Hungarian Grand Prix for being more than 10 car lengths behind at the restart, that obviously is an infringement of the rules. So if it is in one case, it has to be in another case for exactly the same thing. Now, when it comes back to the incident between Hamilton and Lewis, sorry, the Hamilton and Verstappen and the supposed brake test. Yeah, I mean, it obviously looked like he slowed down and then speeded up immediately on the television feed. But let's see what the data brings out. But, you know, as I'm sure everybody here wants to see, I want to see this one decided cleanly and fairly and ultimately in an exciting fashion next weekend in Abu Dhabi. But at this point, I just don't have any faith in that. Anyways, I've got a lot more to say on this subject. I think I'm finally starting to get into my groove here because it's now 11 p.m. Pacific time. And like I say, it's taken me a long time to collect my thoughts on this race. Anyways, let's take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment and we'll pick it up and discuss further. So don't go away.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, welcome back to the show. We are talking about the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. We are talking about, I would say, that incident, all those incidents. It was a very, very strange and crazy race, and that is an understatement, perhaps, of the entire year. I mean, I finished watching this race a long, long time ago earlier today. I'm still finding different things to go back and try to keep it all straight in my head and not mix up too many things that and probably not doing a very good job about it. Anyways, let's talk more about that incident between Lewis and Max Verstappen. happened. Just wanted to tidy that one up, put a bow in it for now. I guess ultimately we'll see what the data brings from Red Bull, but certainly the TV pictures to a certain extent did make it look like he had slowed down. I thought originally that perhaps Max was more in the middle of the track when it happened, but no, I think he did leave him quite a lot of room, and he was further over to the outside of the track than I thought. So anyways, I mean, if he did lift and that led to Lewis driving up the back of him, then yeah, I'm sure that is justifiable for causing an accident, the time penalty and all that. But boy, it was really something. Lewis Hamilton did say that that Verstappen was over the limit with not just one, but all of the moves he made at the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Lewis had the following to say, quote, "For me, I really have to try and just keep my cool out there, which was really difficult to do. I raced a lot of drivers through my life. In 28 years, I've come a lot of different characters, and there are a few at the top, which are like over the limit. Rules kind of don't apply or think of the rules. Today, I was just trying to do my talking on the track, keep my car between the white lines and do it the right way." End quote. And then when he was asked about what about those drivers that were over the limit, Lewis went on to say, quote, "He's over the limit for sure. I've avoided collisions on so many occasions with the guy. I don't always mind being the guy that does that because you live to fight another day, which I obviously did." End quote. So, yeah. And what more do you have to say to that? Again, another comment in the live chat from Steve. "Both teams were playing games today. Bottas holding up Max, so Merck could double stack the pit." Was interesting. That absolutely was. And I think that Lewis, to a certain extent, knows how to play Max mentally. I mean, that turn one was sort of kind of similar to turn four at Brazil that we saw a couple of weeks ago. This is what really kind of kicked off the whole discussion. I mean, Lewis charging down Max in the quicker car, he pushed him and was going to pass him in that one. Max, supposedly braking late, he goes wide, he runs off the track, kind of pushes and takes Lewis with him. Lewis passes him. I mean, nothing was done at that point. That left a kind of a big void because a lot of the drivers had to weigh in on that. And why wasn't it penalized? And okay, at least I know where I stand if something similar happens to me in the future. And for one reason or one way or another, that's kind of set a precedence by not really doing anything, right? So, I mean, if it was a one-off incident, I guess you could make arguments that, okay, well, you can just kind of, it was kind of borderline. You can make the case that Max just ran wide, or, on the flip side, he pushed Lewis wide. There was a case to be made for both. But I think that in a similar situation today, Lewis knew exactly how to play that one, regardless if he was trying to go up the inside or out around the outside like he did in the second incident when Max ran wide later in the race and then gave that position back. That kind of led to the most dramatic and controversial incident of Lewis driving up the back of him. But Lewis is about the only person that I've heard so far to hear that. The team principals involved, I think Toto was being quite diplomatic. I haven't heard anything or read anything, but that may be a little bit contrary. There might be some comments by the time that this goes out to air that it would be, Toto has said something different. So Hamilton, just talking about the turn 27 incident, he said that he was confused. Lewis's exact comment is, quote, "I didn't quite understand why suddenly Verstappen hit the brakes pretty heavily. I ran into the back of him and then he moved on, so I didn't understand exactly what was going on. I got the message afterwards that he was going to let us pass, so it was a bit confusing," end quote. So again, that goes back to the comments that I heard, from other sources that message was relayed first from race director to Red Bull, which relayed it to Max, and then was in the process of being relayed from race director to Mercedes to Bono, who would have then forwarded that message to Lewis. So the sequence is a bit confusing. So it sounds like it was not intentional, but again, at the end of the day, if Max did something different, dangerous, and it did cause an accident, I guess, as long as they don't pull Albon out of the woodwork and get him to do some sort of like bizarre, you know, re-simulation of the whole incident, I'm kind of cool with that. Anyways, Huffles Puffle says in live chat, "Hi, Mark, can't hear to wait your thoughts on that insane race. Glad to watch you live." Yeah, man, I'd be glad to hear my thoughts on this one too, because I'm really having trouble to pull this one together myself. Finish up Lewis's comments, just talking about that incident driving up the back of Max Verstappen. Quote, "I tried to be as sensible and tough as I could be out there, and with all my race experience over the years, just keeping the car on the track and staying clean, that was difficult. But we persevered as a team. We've had all sorts of things thrown at us during the second half of the season, so I'm just really proud of everyone." End quote. So, yeah, you know, again, I was kind of thinking, going back to all the drama that we've seen, you know, it's between Lewis and Max, and it has been all season long. And at this point, I can't honestly say, would I be happier to see Lewis Hamilton win the championship next week and pad his legacy and become the outright greatest of all time? I mean, Lewis, we already know you're the GOAT, you know, seven championships or not. I mean, you're already up there. Max, you know, do I want to see you become the world champion? I mean, you're undoubtedly a very, very talented driver, but some of these moves that we've seen, you know, they've been pretty borderline, you know. And do you really want to win it that way, or do you want to do it like Lewis and try and be clean and do it the right way? I guess, you know, it's just been so intense over the last several races. I mean, I guess when it all kicked off was really back in Silverstone, and we've seen it flare up, obviously, at Monza, and the one in Brazil was a bit of a, I mean, they obviously didn't come to, you know, to an accident to that point, but today it really was all over the place. You know, I was joking around with some people that this was kind of like prison rules Formula One, you know. It's kind of like anything goes. It was like a bar fight. It was like stools being smashed and pool cues and God only knows what. It wasn't clean, you know. And I think the track was obviously it that played a part of it. I'm not going to, you know, completely absolve drivers of poor decisions and things that happened. But I do want to talk a little bit more about that, because I want to just talk briefly about Max's comments. Anyways, Max had the following to say, quote, "Luckily, the fans have a clear mind about racing, because what happened today is unbelievable. I'm just trying to race, and this sport these days is more about penalties than about racing. For me, this is not Formula One, but at least the fans enjoyed it. I gave it all today, but clearly not quick enough, but still happy with second. A lot of things happened with which I don't fully agree with, but it is what it is. I mean, at least I tried it on the track, you know, to give it all." End quote. And then when talking about the incident with Lewis, Max had the following to say, quote, "I slowed down. I wanted to let him by, so I'm on the right, but he didn't want to overtake, and then we touched. I don't really understand what happened there." End quote. So, I mean, at least at the end of the day, when it comes to the one incident that between Lewis and Max, which was the most controversial, you know, forget all the escapades at turns one and two there, that neither of them can really get their mind around what happened in that start finish straight after turn 26 when they collided there. I mean, I don't really understand. I don't really understand it either. I mean, if they don't understand it, it's the two guys that were directly involved, what hope do we at home here have? Very, very little. Huffles Puffle says in live chat, "Max's borderline dirty moves are definitely leaving a bit of a bad taste in my mouth. That makes me think he's truly not ready to be a world driver champion, but what do I know? Shruggy." Yeah, you know, it certainly is. It's interesting. You know, nothing against Max or nothing against Lewis, but can we maybe just give the championship to one of the Ferrari guys or to maybe Lando or something? I mean, it'd be unorthodox, but, you know, it would make for maybe a different way to end off the season. But, you know, like I said earlier in the show, that for better or worse now, we're getting what we wanted. And like I say, careful for what you wish for, because now it comes down to a one race shootout, Yas Marina next weekend, winner takes all. And at this point, considering how good Lewis's car has been over the past couple of races, I mean, the fact that he's just been quicker than Max, and just the momentum that he has, and I think to a certain extent that Lewis has gotten in between Max's ears, I think that when it comes down to the psychological battle between these two guys, I think that Lewis is clearly on top of that one when it comes to the mental side of it. And, you know, if there's a situation at Yas next weekend that's similar to what we saw today, see what we saw at Brazil a couple of weeks ago, you know, I think that that you got advantage of your Lewis Hamilton because he knows how to play that now, right? Another comment from Pratika Barjwash in the live chat: opinion about Max when he's catching someone, he's probably the best in terms. He's probably the best in terms of defense. Max has always been over aggressive and tried to push his opponents off the track and gain an advantage. Yeah, good observation. Totally agree with that. I mean, they did come up with a rule about that years ago, right? This is a bit of a cheeky comment from Steve Williams in live chat. I think Mazepin was relieved to be DNF'd early on. Terrifying crash, but I got a sense he was always nervous to race on the track. And, you know, absolutely. I mean, Carlos Sainz made a couple of comments about that in the, you know, leading up to that. And one of them was that if something happens up the track when the field is compressed, that you're going to be right on top of it before you even really know what's going on. And Mazepin and George Russell very much bystanders as everybody was slowing down, what with Leclerc and Perez touching further up, and then Checo getting spun around like that, the rest of the field slowing down, and Mazepin just sadly a bystander. And you guys know at this point that we're not really fans of Nikita Mazepin, but you can't blame him at that point, because the time to react and it was just a fraction of a second, and he was just along for the ride, and unfortunately he and George Russell were forced out of the race. Thankfully neither of them was hurt even minorly, but it could have been a lot scarier. Some of the other comments said that some of the drivers made. George Russell said that Formula One has a lot to learn about the danger at Jeddah. Checo Perez said that the circuit is unnecessarily dangerous. And certainly I think that there's aspects to this track that are nice, but certainly it needs some work. Let's take a quick break. I'm going to come back. Got a couple more thoughts on this one, specifically about the track itself, and then just want to weigh in on the race next weekend, the season finale. So don't go away. We'll be back in just a moment.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Okay, welcome back to the podcast. As always, up to speed with Formula One. Still trying to get my mind around the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Just going back to the driver's comments about the safety of the track itself. I mean, there was concerns about that before the race itself when they got there midweek. Lewis Hamilton's pole setting lap came in at 253.98 kilometers an hour. It's the fastest street circuit on the calendar. It's the second fastest track on the calendar behind Monza, which is the temple of speed and is absolutely an awesome track. My thoughts on the track, I think it definitely has some potential, but when you have a track that is that fast, that is that twisty, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to have it confined between concrete barriers and chain chain link fencing because there isn't a lot of room for these guys to go. So, I mean, contact with other cars, contact with the walls. It wasn't like this wasn't unexpected. It wasn't a case of if, but it was going to be a case of when. And when that incident did it happen, would it be like we saw with Mick Schumacher going into the wall, like a car just having an off? Would it be a situation with a couple of cars colliding like we saw with, well, I mean, Max and Lewis is kind of a bit of a bizarre scenario, but I mean, the incidents between, say, Sebastian Vettel and Kimi Raikkonen, that was a bit of a weird one too, but they just kind of got tangled together. And then Kimi, I think, kind of found himself along for the ride. But the point is that, you know, and I know that they wanted to have a street circuit there, but I mean, Saudi Arabia is a fairly big country. I mean, there's lots of open spaces. And I think that if this track had a lot of space around it and it's, you know, they were able to have proper runoff areas, I think it would have been it would be a much, much better circuit, because within the confines that it is, and between those concrete barriers and the chain link fencing, it does make it dangerous. And, you know, you're going to get, obviously you're going to have collisions, but I mean, even the minor ones, just cars coming into to minor contact with one another, you're going to see bits of carbon fiber coming off from wing end plates and from barge boards, etc. I mean, at least next year with the cars being a little bit simplified, then you're not going to have so many of these peripheral bits hanging off and that can get knocked off. But that's not really the point. I mean, a track either is or it isn't safe. And I thought it was very interesting too, at one point, I think it was after the Vettel-Raikkonen incident where, you know, all these parts started flying off Seb's car, that I think it was Fernando Alonso was saying, well, you know, the track is in the worst condition that we've seen it all weekend long. There's just way too much stuff out here. He said, we're traveling out here at, 300 kilometers per hour plus, and it's just dangerous now, because, I mean, you pick up a piece of those, carbon fiber shards, you can potentially get a puncture, and, you know, with nowhere to run off, I mean, you know, the chances are that you're going to go into the wall there. So it's dangerous. So when you look at what Checo has to say, he had this to say, quote, it's a really nice circuit. Very dangerous though, in terms of there's a lot of straights, but you're turning and there are blind corners where I hope nothing happens. And if you like, it's too dangerous without a real reason. When you look at some of the onboards, it's quite scary. I just hope that it goes through. We don't see a big shunt out there. I just feel that the track is a bit too risky without a reason with the speed that we're doing with the deltas around the track from some of the other cars. It's a bit unnecessary, but I think that probably something that we can review after the weekend, end quote. So George Russell had to say the following, quote, it seemed pretty inevitable. You go around a turn two that's fairly wide and open. Cars can go side by side, and then it really funnels in and goes pretty narrow pretty fast. I came around a blind corner and cars were everywhere. I slowed down and then got completely hit from behind. So a lot to learn, I think, for a motorsport this weekend, because it's an incredibly exhilarating and exciting track to drive, but it's lacking a lot from a safety perspective and a racing perspective. And there are unnecessary incidents waiting to happen for all these small kinks that are blind, which are not even corners in an F1 car, but they just offer unnecessary danger, end quote. So, I mean, it's not going to be too long. I mean, we're going to be back at Jeddah in March of next year. What would this kind of rearrangement of the schedule make sense? Because, you know, we go to the Middle East at the beginning of the year to Bahrain anyways. So they do have time to figure it out. And I believe that there has been some discussions that they are going to look at that. And it certainly needs to be looked at. I mean, there's always a little bit more danger in some of these street circuits anyways, but I think the big question here is, with the speeds that we're seeing, is this any more than is acceptable anyways? I mean, Monaco is well renowned for being very tight and compact with nowhere really to go, but I mean, the one thing is, and it's not that it makes it any better, but I mean, the top end speeds of Monaco are a lot slower, and there aren't really that many blind corners from, you know, compared to Jeddah. Some of the other comments from George Russell were, quote, I think you live and learn from these experiences. You can't blame anybody from trying to make an incredible racetrack, and ultimately that's what they have achieved. But I think nobody foresaw what was about to happen with all these blind corners. In my opinion, yeah, the track changes are needed. You've got so many of these small kinks that are totally unnecessary, and that could just be made into a straight line from turn 2 to turn 4, which could be straight from turn 17 to 22. We've got five corners, which is a section which is totally easily flat out, even with the DRS. I don't know what the limitations are, so that also needs to be looked at. And ideally, if that was made into a straight line, the safety would drastically improve. I think they've got the resources here to do it, so it shouldn't be a limitation. Safety needs to come first. If you can improve the danger drastically with small changes, then it's a no-brainer, end quote. So there you go. I think that when the drivers weigh in on it in such a manner, I think that obviously you have to take that to heart. And ultimately, I mean, it just goes to prove that in this day and age, I mean, carbon fiber notwithstanding, hands devices notwithstanding, halos, and these new helmets that they have, that Formula One, motorsport in general, is just a dangerous proposition. And I think that it really goes to show that these guys are basically risking it all every time they strap themselves into a Formula One car. I mean, we did see a couple of scary moments on Sunday afternoon. Fortunately, we didn't see anything, you know, nobody was seriously hurt. I mean, I think that was the one thing that kind of stood out for me for Mick Schumacher's accident. The way that he spun off going into the corner there was that he basically hit the wall at a 90 degree angle. And regardless, you know, if you have a hands device and all the cushioning around the cockpit, I mean, you're basically hitting the car at, you know, like I say, perpendicular to the wall. And just the opportunity for the neck to snap like that is, you know, potentially very, very dangerous. Anyways, just a couple of other things here before I kind of, while trying to collect my thoughts here about going into next weekend. I talked about this on Thursday night, just about this deal between Mercedes and Kingspan. This Irish insulator that was involved in this Grenfell Tower fire and disaster in June 2017. So they did sign a deal, excuse me, to be a sponsor for Mercedes. This really kicked off a lot of outrage from survivors and family members for people that that suffered and were killed in this tragedy. Hamilton did say something short about it. He said, quote, "It's not something I feel I have to speak of publicly. It has nothing to do with the team signing of any of the sponsors." End quote. Maybe perhaps for the one of Tommy Hilfiger, because that's the only sponsor that Lewis himself brought to Mercedes. Toto Wolff said that is something that they could reevaluate this deal after the uproar. Toto had the following to say, quote, "We have discussed also that with the important people, we will reach out to Kingspan and come up with the right solution. There's a contractual agreement that's behind these things, and we just want to do the right thing with integrity, and that's why I don't want to further comment," end quote. So we'll see. It was, an interesting one, and certainly, I guess the big controversy is with, the products that they made were, you know, part of the reason of the big disaster and led to the loss of life. So signing a sponsorship deal with a very high profile team like Mercedes is obviously very, very controversial. Anyways, I'm going to start wrapping this one up now, but just to kind of finish off some of these thoughts. We get now a week, we get very, very little time now to sit back, to think and really think about what happened today and digest it. And we're going to do it all over again here on, less than a week from now. And this time, I don't want to say you can forget about all the previous 21 races, but you know what I mean, right? I mean, it basically comes down to, it's an even slate, winner takes all. I mean, the constructors has to be pretty much a wrap, unless by some bizarre reason, both Mercedes cars have, you know, some unfortunate circumstance that leads them to score no points, and Red Bull really bags a lot of points. I mean, it was really disappointing. I mean, for Red Bull today, with Checo going out, that's, you know, they're down to 50% of their point scoring capacity, what with only having Max out there. And of course, Bottas was able to take that for the third position away from Esteban Ocon very, very late in the race there and get some more points for the constructors. So that one, I think, is pretty much sewn up again for Mercedes, that will win what was their seventh, eighth in a row now. I've almost lost count of it. But as we go into this final race, when it does come down to Lewis and Max, I just really want to see a clean race between the two of them. If Lewis has the advantage, he's going to pass Max. I just hope that Max does the right thing. And, you know, on and that goes for the, you know, the flip side of that as well. I mean, Lewis always talks about doing it the right way, doing it the clean way. And I don't suggest that he would push him off, you know, Max off, if, you know, Max is pushing him and he has the advantage to do so. So I really don't know what to say more than that. I really, really hope that it's a clean race. I hope it's an exciting race. I hope it's not anticlimactic. I hope that it runs the entire length of the race, and that that either Lewis or Max doesn't have a mechanical issue and a DNF, because that would just be disappointing. I just want to see it won cleanly and fairly. I mean, if it's a great move the way that that Max put on that third restart up the inside there to win it, or, you know, if Lewis puts a great move on Max, you know, that's what we're all here for. We're here to watch good, clean, exciting racing. And that's really what I really hope to see. Anyways, I don't know what else to say other than that. You know, just kind of like going down the constructors again, looking at these things. I was kind of surprised when I was followed. I had to look at the final race classification at the end of the race to see where the McLaren cars had finished up, where the Ferrari cars had ended up, and how that really didn't change the constructor standings very much to what it was previously going into that one. And it was kind of a bit of a profound moment, and I'd realized I was so focused on what was happening at the front. I was so focused on what was happening between Lewis and Max that I'd completely forgotten about what was happening up and down the rest of the running order. And I completely had not realized that Ricardo had finished where he did, where Carlos and Charles had finished where they did, where Lando had finished up where he did, and all these other things that were going on. Because every time something happened, I found myself going back and watching, okay, what happened between Lewis and Max here? What happened there? Okay, all these different things. I found that I was so hyper-focused on what was happening between Hamilton and Verstappen that basically the other 18 cars out there was almost a... It wasn't a point of interest for me, and I cannot recall a race, at least in recent memory, that I've been that focused on two cars like that. And, you know, I guess, at least in my defense, you can see why, because these are the two guys that are fighting for the big prize there. But still, it was very, very... it was a very, very interesting moment to kind of really go down and see that final race classification just after the race had ended. I was just like, okay, well, how did he end up there and how did they end up there? It was a very, very strange moment. Anyways, I'm going to wrap it up there. Thanks, guys, for all of you that joined into the live stream tonight. I know it was a little bit later than usual. Again, I needed extra time to collect my thoughts on this one. I don't know how coherent it was, but hey, I think we're all kind of feeling the same on this one. It was, to say it was crazy and dramatic and all of those things is an understatement, to say the least. Anyways, if you want to get in touch, please send us a tweet at ScuderiaF1Pod. On the flip side, if you want to send us an email, please send us an email at scuderiapod@gmail.com. And that's it. That's a wrap. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Take care. Have a great race. Mark and I will be back on Thursday night to preview the season finale. Can you believe it? Until then, have a great week, guys, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.